It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
It is Jason Wilde time right here on the Homer Hour. I'm Alex Strofe in for Steve, the Homer True, tonight. Out there swinging them straight, hopefully, at the AmFan Pro-Am. Jason Wilde here, meet you every weekday, 9 to noon. I'm Wilde and Tausch. Good evening, Jason.
Hello, Strofe. Yeah, I don't know if he's hitting them straight. I'm assuming he's just looking for as many lost golf balls on the course as possible, because that's really Homer's passion when it comes to golf.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that. That's also my passion.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not my passion. It's just what my game ends up becoming because I'm not bad at golf, but that's neither here nor there. So, Jason, I know we talk about this all the time. I know you talk about it on William Tausch. You talk about it with all of our shows. But it's actually to a point where I'm confused now on Jair Alexander, given all the mixed messaging and everything that's been said in the locker room by his teammates, his coaches, the general manager. Where are we at? Let's just start there. Where are we at with Jair? He's going to report next week, and then hopefully we get a solution?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that him reporting to the minicamp would force and 100% result in a resolution. But at this point, I can't really say much of anything for certain, right? I mean, look, the report from The Athletic was that he intended to report to the mandatory minicamp, if not sooner. And as you've heard me say multiple times, you know, I don't feel like that portion of Matt Schneidman's report got the attention that it merited, because, you know, yeah, it's great that Keyshawn Nixon wants him back and Xavier McKinney wants him back, but unless those guys have been elevated to personnel department lieutenants with Goody, they don't have a whole lot of sway.
Right.
So, and he's not returning, he's not reporting because he wants to go hang out with his buddies at mandatory minicamp. He's reporting because the Packers cannot keep him off the field if he reports. They can't say, because he's under contract. So unless they agree, as I think they have, but again, we haven't talked to Jair, and as you and I have gone through, I never qualified for getting his phone number. Unless they have negotiated something, which I don't know why they would, that he can report to the minicamp and attend meetings and everything else, and he's not going to go out on the field, and he's not going to, like Tausch tells the story about when, you know, it was unclear what his status was going to be. They didn't want him in the weight room dropping a dumbbell on his foot. So they don't want him out there if his contract still contains a $16.15 million base salary. So this is you would like to think, put up or shut up time. But again, I can't say that for absolute certainty, just because nothing has seemed certain during this process. And just when people thought things were certain, they turned out not to be.
Right. And that's the part where I'm thrown off, because the offer of a restructure signals to me, and tell me if I'm misinterpreting this, but it signals to
me, I
probably am, because I would imagine what that contract looks like, and we don't know the ins and outs of it, is probably nothing, and Jair hasn't signed it for a reason, right, is probably almost insulting to a guy of his caliber when he's on the field, but that's the big if/when he's on the field. But the part that signals to me is, well, it seems like the Packers are certainly open to a reunion then. Maybe not at the price point that maybe he's under right now, or even a price point that me as a fan, you as a three-time Wisconsin sports writer that you're covering this team as closely as you do, expect. So that's the part where I'm thrown off, because Jair didn't sign it. He hasn't signed it. It sounds like he won't sign whatever was offered to him when Matt Schneidman reported that. But he could potentially sign something if it gets a little bit more in the direction he would like to see it. Him showing up is likely to force their hand to a solution, whether that's a re-signing, whether that's a trade, whether that's a release. It just seems like they've softened their stance however many degrees on whether or not they'd like Jair Alexander back in the building in 2025.
Yeah, I would say this. They want Jair Alexander back at their price. Not at his, not at his current price, not at what he would like his reduced price to be. I think they want him back at their price. And by reporting to the mandatory minicamp, if he doesn't like their price, that at least puts him in position to say, okay, well, unless you're going to compromise on the price, then you're going to have to cut me because I'm going to go out there on the field otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, there, we haven't talked to any of these folks. Goody has not talked now about him since the draft, so we don't really know what he's thinking lately. But, yeah, the bottom line is that they want him back under very specific circumstances. And if they're not going to get him back under those circumstances, then what are they going to do? Are they going to sweeten the contract offer to make it more enticing for him? Are they going to say, no, you know what? Let's just part ways, shake hands, and say goodbye to each other. I don't know what they'll ultimately do, but that is what we will hopefully find out Monday, Tuesday-ish.
Okay. Well, there you have it, because the mandatory minicamp for the Packers starts a week from yesterday, next Tuesday. As Jason pointed out, he will apparently report maybe even prior to the minicamp beginning on Tuesday, so we will hopefully have a solution at this time next week. Jason Wilde with me, Alex Stroh on the Homer Hour right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Let's stick with the Packers. I'm just going to float you a vague one. Answer this however you think. What was your biggest takeaway from attending OTA number two for you, but OTAs yesterday for the Green Bay Packers? Biggest takeaway?
I will say this, because it's hard, because the quality of football is not very high.
The underwear Olympics, I believe they call it, right, Jason?
I don't like that term. I think they actually use that for the
combine,
the scouting combine, yeah. which as we know is really your forte.
That's correct.
It wasn't even full speed, and so that obviously makes it a little harder to judge. But that said, you know, I thought Jordan Love looked really sharp. He had a really great touchdown pass in the 2 minute, about 30 yards to Jaden Reed. Then he hit Romeo Doubs for the 2-point conversion. So from an on-field perspective, you know, there wasn't a lot to be able to have takeaways from.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a little bit tougher. From our conversations, you know, I don't know. I'm writing this tonight. I'm trying to work my way through exactly what Romeo Doubs is thinking, feeling, headed toward, because, you know, he talked with us. He didn't have to. Like, the PR staff brought us six guys. He could have easily said, no, I'd rather not. But he did come and talk to us. He did not want to talk about the concussions and where that journey has been. He did not want to talk about any regrets he had from last year and the incident the week of the Rams game where he was unhappy with his role and didn't show up for work. But he did have high praise for Matthew Golden. But to me, he's a really interesting piece for this year because, you know, if he's in a sufficiently good headspace and is going to approach this as, look, I don't know if these guys want me back or not, but I'm going to bust my tail and have as great of a season as I can. So that way, if they're not going to pay me, someone else will. Then I think he's got an opportunity to have, you know, a meaningful season in which he contributes on a good football team and helps his own personal net worth. So we'll see, you know, what he ends up doing. But every indication that I saw, both of him on the field, he had a nice catch on the 2-point conversion, he had a nice catch on a out route during that drive. Like, he's, you know, he looks pretty sharp in helmets and shorts. And he has had moments where he's been a very, very good NFL receiver. So What is his season going to look like? I think that's one of the many questions I'm intrigued by.
I think there are a lot of questions to be intrigued by. That's certainly being part of them. Jason Wilde with me here on the Homer Hour. Let's try a new game, Jason. I know you're very hip. You have daughters who are in high school and middle school, so you're going to know what this means. All right, let's try a game called No Cap or Crap. Are you ready?
No cap would mean no lie. That's the truth, Ruth, right? And crap would be, why wouldn't you just go cap or no cap?
That could have been a way to do this. You're absolutely, I'm coming up with it on the fly. This is why you're an ideas guy. I like running them by you. That was good. Okay. Cap or
well,
no cap?
I don't think I've ever heard the girls use the word crap before.
Oh, is that no longer in the verbiage of middle and high schoolers?
Well, being around Paula, they just use much stronger words because of her potty mouth.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm sure you have nothing to do with that.
Damn straight.
All right, let's get to this, because the defensive line for somebody that was not at OTAs seemed to be like it was a big topic yesterday, right? Especially the pass rush, right? You have a new defensive line coach in DeMarcus Covington who came over from the Patriots. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty much the same, right? Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt. Your personnel is essentially the same. It's the second year under defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley. It was a big topic. Now, it was all optimism, right? Kenny Clark hosting defensive line over for film sessions and people talking about how great of a coach DeMarcus Covington is. Do you find the praise and optimism around the pass rush and the defensive line to be no cap or cap? Cap or no cap? Optimism.
This harkens back to yes or no on our pregame.
I was really hoping you wouldn't pick up on that.
You have a very low opinion of my intellect.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not a lie, but it's also not a truth. Like we don't know. Like that's great that they're getting wings delivered, and there's a couple of people in the media, from what I understand, that are doing like DoorDash or Uber Eats to try and augment their income. So how, if I picked up that gig myself, because we can all use a little extra money, wouldn't it be something if I was delivering the wings to their get together for film? And do you think they'd let me come in and
I was
watch?
Just about like, to ask.
Kenny Clark,
do you think you would
door,
get invited in?
I think if Kenny Clark answered the door, I would. I think if Kingsley Enagbare answered the door, I would. I don't think Rashawn Gary doesn't really enjoy us very much. Devontae Wyatt, flip of a coin. Trying to think of who else. Carl Brooks would let me in. Colby Wooden, I think, would let me in. They'd probably put it to a vote. LVN is another flip of the coin. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think you should pick up a DoorDash gig and go crash that, even if you weren't their delivery driver.
No cap.
No cap or crap. All right, we'll work on that. We'll run it back next time I talk to you. All right, Jason.
I got time for one more. The graduation doesn't start for another little while longer.
Okay,
so I got
great.
Time for one more.
I was trying to be a good host, get you out on time. Chris told me to break. I'm going to keep you there.
Why start now?
That's a fair point. Okay, let's go to the offense, because you mentioned Jordan Love, and obviously the big talking point for us last week was his regression. The big talking point for the national media this week was his regression, and I don't want to ask you whether or not he regressed. I'm just curious how that's perceived in the building. I thought his answer was really good about, you know, we won more games, individual stats are fine, but I want to win. And I think that's a really good, you know, non-committal answer from the quarterback. But now that you were back there since the last time he said that, how is that conversation being perceived? Because I don't believe in you don't hear any of the outside noise thing you hear a lot of. I think they are hearing a lot of the commentary around whether or not he regressed and whether or not he's actually a great quarterback. What was your takeaway yesterday on that conversation?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't describe it as the conversation was about his regression, because I think the conversation should be forward spun to – what is he going to be this season?
Yeah.
Because whatever phraseology you want to use to describe last season, and again, I understand Ben Kurt is out there saying how great he was and whatever else, and obviously Dan Orlovsky and a few others. That's fine. He wasn't as good as he was in the second half of 2023. Like he just wasn't. And I think those guys know that. Does that mean he was bad? No. But I do. It's interesting because when I asked the question about, you know, what does this team need from you to get to where it wants to go, and referenced Rodgers going to the Super Bowl in year three, he was not in any way prickly about his answer. But when he was asked about taking a step back, which, you know, I think it was a nervous TV guy who maybe didn't choose his words the perfect way, he was kind of prickly about it.
Yeah.
And so I he does know the noise. You know, my thing is with LaFleur, you know, he made that reference about my being a physical specimen, and then I brought it back yesterday, and then he really got after me. But let's be honest, I mean, he's doing that because he didn't really want to have to talk about, you know, what his shortcomings were last year and where he needs to be better. So if you hang up just on the injuries and the drops, that makes it look a lot better. So he has got to be the guy that they paid to be the guy. He's got to be the guy that we have seen him be, and not just for glimpses. Like he was, I mean, the guy he was in Dallas, the guy he was for three quarters in San Francisco. Like, that's my issue with folks that are poo-pooing anybody who suggests that last season wasn't star-spangled awesome for him and that it was just injuries and drops. Like, did you see him against San Francisco for three quarters in the divisional round? Did you see him in Dallas against the Cowboys? He was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And, yeah, in his last five playoff quarters, he's thrown five interceptions. That's not awesome. And so he doesn't have to be the guy that over that nine game stretch, including the Cowboys game, he had 117 passer rating and threw 21 touchdowns against one pick and had a 70.7 completion rate. But he's got to be the guy that completes 67-68% of his passes and throws like 25 touchdowns against six interceptions or 34 touchdowns against eight interceptions. Like, that's who he needs to be. And especially, look, I'm not wishing this on Josh Jacobs. I am a huge Josh Jacobs guy. Like, I love talking to him. But he does take a lot of punishment. And if for some reason, instead of the quarterback missing some games, it's the running back, I don't know if any of those guys, Emmanuel Wilson, obviously they're excited about Marshawn Lloyd, but we have no idea what he's going to be. The reality is Jordan Love's going to have to be the guy. And I thought it was interesting that Josh Jacobs told us that he had talked about Jordan about exactly that topic. You got to be the guy, capital T, capital G. And so I'm eager to see him because I think he's undeniably capable of that. But I get frustrated with people that think just because you critique him in a slightly negative manner that you're a hater or you don't know anything about football.
Well said. Yeah. According to the Alex Stroff Research Department, when Jordan Love completed over 67% of his passes in 2024, the Packers record, want to take a guess?
5-0.
Nailed it. 5-0. Packers were 5-0 when he completed 67% or more of his passes. So pretty good threshold there by the great Jason Wilde. Jason, thanks as always for the time. We'll be listening to you tomorrow beginning at 9 a.m.
All right, Stroff. Take care. Be good.
The great Jason Wilde from Wilde and Tausch, weekdays from 9 to noon right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Yeah, the Jordan Love conversation is it's an interesting one. It's complicated, it's convoluted, and you heard the excuses that are real excuses, right? The injuries that he dealt with, several of them in 2024. The drop passes, the Packers dropped more passes than any other team in the league in 2024. So real concerns and real excuses, but Jordan Love has to be better. Flat out, no excuses, has to be better if this team wants to be back in the championship conversation in 2025. We'll continue to talk Packers and want to hear from you on the Cardinals Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. As we roll on, it's the Homer Hour right here on ESPN Wisconsin.